Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057TheFan. Who gets your shovel, Ed Norris?
The Baltimore City Department of Transportation. I've been complaining about this at least for 10 years, maybe more on this show. It drives me insane. It's, you know, every focus is on the crime, and it sucks here. We're dangerous. I get it. It's a dangerous city, no doubt. But there's other things that are within your control, much more within your control, that you don't fix. And my pet peeve, as you know, it's not potholes. It's not even the crooked yellow lines on Falls Road that were painted by somebody who was actually must have been hammered that day. I don't know if you've seen them. Jeremy actually took that ride. It's unbelievable. It's like squiggly lines on Falls Road south of the station. I can't believe they did that and left it. Anyway, traffic lights. This isn't just me. You go on Reddit or any other site. People complain. WTF is going with the lights at Lombard, on Lombard. Why are traffic lights so prone to failure? This is all on Reddit posts. How to report a traffic light problem in Baltimore City. The problem is they're not synchronized. I don't understand why not. When I lived downtown, I lived in Locust Point for years. I get on Key Highway. I sit at a red light. Then the one in front of me I could see was green. And the one in front of that one was red. And then my light would turn green. Then the next one turned. I would go a block at a time. One block at a time. It's so stupid. And I've never seen a city like this. And this with no traffic. This isn't like the cars in the intersection or gridlock. This is just the stupidity of the people running the city. Like, you got to fix this. Now, apparently, they're going to fix it by February. They claim half of it's done. And they claim, I'll believe this when I see it, first of all. But they say it'll be done by February. And the problem is, the issues are a significant portion of both of those traffic signals not connected to the city's traffic management center. Well, why not? Water damage, moisture, behind road salt in the winter. The whole northern part of the country uses salt. How is this just an issue here? Synchronization issues. Cause slipping or drifting, resulting in areas. This is all within your domain and your control. This is nonsense. This is like the worst excuse I've ever heard. This is a dog ate my homework nonsense. Please, stop, fix it. So now they have a major initiative, retiming all the 1,100 traffic signals to reduce delays, blah, 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 blah. My question is, good, why did it take you so long? Why? I've been bitching about this for at least a decade because it's so unnecessary, but they're going to fix it finally, allegedly, by February of 26.
Thank you very much, Ed. My shovel goes to Delbert Carver. Who's Delbert Carver? He's the guy that threw the dildo on the court at the WNBA game in Georgia. Now, this is what Delbert says. Where is it? He thought it was supposed to be a joke that was supposed to go viral. This was supposed to be a joke, and this joke was supposed to go viral. It did go viral. And now you're in jail. You're locked. You're going to get locked up for indecent. Disorderly conduct, public indecency, indecent exposure, and criminal trespass. That's what you're charged
indecent
with.
Indecent exposure? Uh-huh. They're charging with that?
Uh-huh. What are you charging with? Let's see if it sticks.
It's fake.
Doesn't matter. They're going to charge him with it. And then maybe you don't get convicted of it. It's just dumb. It's seriously. There's nothing funny about that.
It's funny when they threw him at Tom Brady.
What makes an adult say, let me throw a dildo on a court? Well, honestly, as an adult, what makes you think that's funny?
Well, I think you're using the term adult very loosely, first of all. Because a lot of people who are chronologically adults are not adults.
But then you're an adult, you're just not a grown-up.
Yeah.
You know, he's an adult, full-fledged. He's just not a grown-up. You carried a dildo into the arena, you threw it on the court, and your excuse was it was supposed to be a joke, and this joke was supposed to go viral.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your life has come to.
A lot of memes
going viral.
Yep.
Now you've gone viral for the wrong reasons.
Uh-huh. Proud of yourself.
Is that society now?
Yes.
I want to do something to go viral.
Yeah. Yes. And the dumber the better, sadly. I don't know what to say.
Who are we?
We've become a really stupid country.
Who are we, man? Seriously.
Yes.
I mean, why dildo?
Because it's so funny. Because you remember, they did this to Tom Brady for a while, if you remember.
No.
They were throwing on the football field.
Really?
Yes.
Bills games.
What was it? Bills games?
Bills games, yeah.
Yeah. And they did it to him, and everything was hilarious because, you know, because it was him.
But, and according to court records, the safety and well-being of everyone in our arena is a top priority for our league. And Tom Brady wears a helmet. These women don't.
Well, I think
Tom okay, Brady now it's getting kind of funny.
Tom Brady, you're making this funny.
Tom Brady wears a helmet. You get hit with a flying dildo.
How do you get it in, too? Did he? Someone questioned how he got it at the past security.
It's not on here. I looked.
Can you imagine,
he hit it in his pants.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's happy to see me.
I don't think they're afraid of getting hit with a flying dildo. But I think it was more for tripping on the court.
That might hurt, though. Yeah, Ed, you know what the quality of these things are. Sometimes they got some weight to them.
Exactly.
They do. The good ones do.
Good lion's den, you know.
I don't know if you noticed, Joe, but the bigger it is, the heavier it is.
Exactly, man.
My buddy Fritz, owner of White Marsh Plaza Liquor, he just texted me, "You just want to say dildo on air."
Yes.
No, I really don't. But yeah. But seriously, dude. Yeah, you can trip over, but you can get hit in the head with it, too. 410-583-1057 is the number. Vinny Serrano joins us in studio at 9:30. But on the other side, we're going to ask Kevin Brown what he thinks about flying dildos. Kevin Brown joins us up next on The Fan. 9:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. On this Taco Tuesday, I think I might have some today, some tacos.
It's always a good idea.
Gotta go to Taco Love, man. I haven't been in, man, over a month. A couple of months, maybe. No, about 6 weeks. It's been a long time. Gotta get by there and get some tacos. Danny doesn't work there anymore, so it's kind of deterrent for me to go. No, he doesn't work there anymore. Danny has his own place downtown now.
Really?
I forget the name, but he does have his own spot downtown.
That's cool.
Yeah. Speaking of cool, Ben McDonald's pretty cool.
Yes.
It's awesome. That dude next to him is pretty cool as well. He's going to join us right now, voice of the Baltimore Orioles on Mass. And Kevin Brown, what's up, Kevin?
Wow, I never get called cool. That's really exciting.
You never got called cool, really?
I mean, I'm literally on a show called The Statcast Show. All I need is a little, you know, front pocket protector. And, I'm fully in line with what I'm supposed to be. I'll take it.
Kevin, I got to throw something your way before we get going, man.
Okay.
Sixth inning.
Oh.
Two outs.
Which was throwing something we just talked about.
How do you get it wrong even after the replay?
I've unfortunately we've seen this before, right? Where they just the replay review center will not overturn something if they're like 90% right. I think they've got to be 100% right, right or wrong. If that call is out on the field, I don't even think the Phillies challenge. I think they look at it and they go, oh, we're not going to have a chance here. But it's the stands versus confirmed thing, you know. It's crazy that inning is an inch away from ending, and the next thing you know, it's an 8-run inning. But it's the stands versus confirmed thing, and, unless MLB is going to invest in more high-def cameras for everybody and more cameras, I think you're going to have stuff like this happen. It's a very non-answer answer. I know.
It's not that. It's just it frustrates me because the technology is here and they ignore it for who knows whatever. Anyway, but it's back to baseball, the trade deadline. Did anyone surprise? I mean, that was a massive flurry of trades.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed that Laureano was gone. I thought they might keep him because he's under control. Did that surprise you? Or did any of the moves surprise you?
A little bit. That one and Ramon Urias were the two that were a little more surprising. Obviously, those guys were under club control for next year. From what Mike said, Mike Elias, it sounds like he was almost a little surprised at the Laureano thing because he was ready to just trade Ryan O'Hearn, I feel like, to the Padres. And then this is kind of what San Diego does, right? they somehow build up a boatload of prospects every year and then trade them all. They clearly wanted.
Are you there, Kevin?
Volume of prospects.
You broke off a little bit. You said they clearly wanted what?
Sorry, yeah, I think San Diego clearly wanted Laureano. I don't think Mike Elias was prepared to trade him, but I think the Padres did what they do, which is they were super aggressive with their offer, and they offered six prospects. And it sounds like the lefty Boston Bateman that the Orioles got was somebody they were very high on. I didn't think it was a foregone conclusion by any means, because Laureano certainly could help you next year. But the Orioles, I guess, were swayed by the Padres, who, look, the Padres trade away good players. I mean, they acquire good players, but they've traded away Trey Turner and James Wood and Mackenzie Gore. Like, yeah, they are the one team that seems not shy about trading top prospects. And I think the Orioles feel like they got a couple of those. Obviously, time will tell, but I think they had to be blown away to consider trading Laureano. Otherwise, it wouldn't have made sense to bring him back. And it sounds like, from listening to Mike Elias, they feel like they were blown away.
That's exactly what I heard. I heard they were very aggressive, put a lot of pressure on the Orioles. That, I guess that's what you mean. Like, you're just by offering an offer you can't refuse.
And to continue on what you're saying, Kevin, how the Padres are so aggressive in the trade, when you hear fans always say, well, you got to go for it if you really want it. The Padres have done that, and it's resulted in one trip to the NLCS. Mm-hmm. They've been ultra aggressive, arguably the most aggressive of anyone, and it has not resulted in the success that you want.
I'm with you, and I think if you want to look at it from the Padres' perspective, well, listen, they've always, not always, but the last several years, they've had interesting competitive teams, right? The fans are engaged. They're the one team in town in San Diego now. They kind of own the city with the Chargers gone. So they're about building a fan base, right? They're about attendance. They're about an energy. And, like, they've gotten that. They also, you're right, have made one trip to the NLCS where I think they lost in five to Philadelphia a couple of years ago. They lost in the first round of the Dodgers last year. They've gotten bounced earlier than they hoped they would, every year. And is that worth it? Is it worth the prospects they've given up, right? Is it worth the potential of a future of James Wood and CJ Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and all these other guys, and now this lefty Boston Bateman? I don't know. I mean, it certainly feels like the pressure is on them again. It kind of feels like the pressure is on them every year to go out and win with these moves they make. But you know, there are different ways to build teams, clearly. And you can try to be super sustainable, or you can do what the Padres do, which is just go for it every year. Now, credit to the Padres. Their player development system must be amazing, because every year they seem to have a top 10 prospect in baseball, and then every year they trade that prospect. But they really go for it. I didn't love the Mason Miller deal for them. They gave up a kid who some folks thought was the number 3 prospect in baseball, and in Mason Miller, they got somebody I don't think can be a starter at 104, like with an injury history. I just don't believe he's going to last as a future starter. Clearly, they think he is, because they paid a starter premium. So we'll see. If they win the World Series, right, it's worth it. If they do what they keep doing, you know, they're going to be an exciting team that always wins the deadline, whatever that means, and always loses in the first or second round.
There you go.
Kevin, what about the we go back to the trades. You have all these guys, some beloved veterans are gone, like, you know, Mullins and, you know, Hearn, and all the guys we're talking about. There's a gap, you know, a void left when guys like that leave, because, you know, you get some, you know, grown-ups in the clubhouse that you may not ordinarily have. But now, is there a positive to this where the young guys now have a clear path? And they, what is the bright side of getting rid of all these guys?
I think that's what Tony Manzalina was hoping, and he's talked about that a couple of different times. And he's spoken about the leadership he wants to see out of this group. Jordan Westberg, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. You know, even Jackson Holliday's only 21, but he's a very mature 21, haven't been around big league clubhouses his whole life. I think it's kind of the show me moment, right? It's the door is open. Right, the stage is fully theirs. And maybe that's a lot of pressure to put on a younger group, a younger core. But it's also reality, right? You can look at it as pressure, or, you know, to quote an old cliche, you can look at it as a privilege. And now these Orioles have been in a clubhouse for a couple of years, some of them even back with Robinson Chirinos and Rougned Odor, many of them with Kyle Gibson and Adam Frazier and James McCann. They've seen what leadership looks like and what it feels like. And ultimately, I think if the Orioles are going to have the long run that they hope they're going to have, like, that's the group that's going to lead them there. That's going to be the core. So it's, like, I don't want to keep leaning into cliches. It almost feels like a put up or shut up kind of moment, right? It's their time now. And what the Orioles want them to do is to lead in the ways they see as best fit to lead. You've got 2 months. Look, this team is obviously pretty far back from a playoff spot, but there's a lot of great stuff that can happen in these 2 months. These are 2 months that can set the stage and set the tone for next year. And I think the players who know they're going to be here next year, who are under contract for several years, have the opportunity to take the reins. So I'm excited to see them try and, and to see them kind of grow into their own voice here a little bit.
All right. Hey, Kevin, get us some runs tonight, all right?
You looking at me?
Yeah, get us some runs, man. Come on.
How am I supposed to do that?
Do your broadcasting miracle work. Speak it into existence. I mean, you stop a lot of no-hitters. I mean, you can get some runs.
Oh, my God. I'll have you know, by the way. I'll have you know, I have been on the call for 5 no-hitters in my career. Now, probably none of them in the big leagues.
You probably didn't speak about them. That's why.
No, I did.
All right.
I did. I lean in.
You are the man. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
I tell you, by the way,
you said what?
I knew you'd be watching. I was so nervous last night because I had the Phillies on the StatCast show Sunday night, and Trey Turner's had this bizarre season where he has 11 home runs on the road and none at home, even though this is a great home run hitting park.
Uh-huh.
And the whole night on the StatCast show, we talked about it, and he didn't hit one. And I was kind of hoping he would hit one on Sunday, because then I wouldn't have to talk about it yesterday. But then he didn't hit one, so I knew I had to talk about it yesterday. And every Trey Turner at bat, I'm like, he hasn't homered at home yet. And I'm just thinking, oh, God, please don't hit one. So I get a text from Rob immediately. And he didn't hit one. So I haven't jinxed it for 2 nights running.
You know you get one.
You know, if he hits one today or tomorrow, just remember, I'm 2 for 2.
And hold on, before I go out there, what's up with the Talladega Nights thing, man? Come on.
I don't know. We're talking about the game at the Speedway.
He and Ben did an entire 5 minutes, which is a long time, on Talladega Nights quotes.
I think not long enough, honestly. I'll be wearing a tuxedo t-shirt later to the game. This is formal, and I like the party.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, my God. Don't do that. Hey, Kevin, thanks a lot, my man.
You guys are welcome. See, I'm cool.
Joe LaCroix's Encore at 9:45, but on the other side, Vinny Serrano joins us in studio, which means we're supposed to talk Ravens training camp, but you never know with Vinny. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Vinny Serrano joins us right now. Vinny, you got to live for days like today, don't you?
Yeah, today is my favorite day of camp today. I mean, because they're going to be playing against the Colts, mm-hmm. and it's awesome. I mean, when I was in San Fran or when I was in Washington, I loved playing against other teams.
I think this is the best day of training camp.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Because, you know, the players are going to be jacked because, Ed, you said that, you know, traffic was so bad. You're lucky you didn't come because there was nothing going on. Lamar wasn't there.
Oh.
He had an excuse day off. So Lamar wasn't there, and it was like they were going half speed most of the time.
Really?
Yeah, and they were in practice was over by 3 o'clock.
Yeah, well.
Because they're prepping for today. I mean, they'll be all jacked up today, you know. So that's
my favorite part of these days are the drills. Running back, linebacker drills, the blocking drills, those get really nasty.
Well, what I want to see, the problem is, you know, and I can't remember who I was telling. I said, I think it was Jerry Sandusky. I said, Jerry, I said, the problem with this is there's so much to watch that you can't, because you want to watch, you know, because they'll be having 2 pass rush drills going on at mm-hmm. different times, you know, and I want to watch Mike Green and I want to watch those guys, but then I want to watch the O-line for the Ravens too.
Yeah.
And they'll be on another field. But then I want to see at the same time is Pascal, and I want to see if Anthony Richardson, how many interceptions he's going to throw.
Right. That's the thing.
You know, so, and then the team stuff should be pretty good, you know, and then I heard Van Hoy was talking about, you know, they were talking about, well, yeah, if there's fights. I mean, last time they had a practice against the Colts, it was a full-out brawl.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, yeah, it'll be, the intensity's going to be up.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, is this a good team in terms of talent for talent? A good team for the Ravens to go up against?
I don't think it's good quarterbacking.
Okay.
But they got good running backs. I think the O-line's okay. You know, and they got some, they have pretty good defense. So I think it'll be good for the offense. And, you know, like hearing all the guys talk yesterday, they were excited because going against somebody else, they don't know how you play and do all that kind of stuff. So it'll be a good challenge, be a very good challenge for the Ravens. And then in 2 weeks when they go down to Ashburn, play against the Redskins, that'll be a good work for them too.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games or one of those times, if you're a football fan, this is the begin. To me, this is, you know, in football, you got to get lathered up a little bit more for this than you do that Hall of Fame game.
Oh, well, Hall of Fame game, the starters aren't playing.
Right.
And this is the starters.
They'll play more today than they will Thursday.
I ain't playing Thursday.
That's what.
So this is their thing. Absolutely. I mean, the two games against Washington and Indy, that's their prep for Buffalo. That's all they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're going to get a lot of first and second teamers are going to get a ton of work today.
Yeah.
Which is going to be nice because third and fourth, they're playing.
Yeah.
Thursday night. Yeah. That's who's playing Thursday night.
Yeah, and we know the Chargers second team is fantastic from the Hall of Fame game. That's all you know.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. You know what you learn? Yeah. The only thing is, what I've always learned is, I was always, if you get blown out,
mm-hmm. And what?
Where's my depth in a preseason game?
Well, that's
game?
What I was, yeah. Because the Lions got blown out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was ugly. And yeah. They have no backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And I saw that Teddy Bridgewater just signed with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Because they thought he was going back to Detroit.
Well, his high school coaching situation is in jeopardy now.
He was paying him.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, he's got kids down there, Rob, down at Miami Northwestern. That's a crap area, but they got good athletes. And those kids, you know, a lot of single parents, they don't have money, and he's doing what he – I can't blame the guy. I mean, you know who complains about it? Like
the people he's beating.
Yes.
Let's come on. Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah, like when I was
because if he's not beating you, then you're probably doing the same thing. So you're not going to complain,
or you don't care.
Yeah,
because he can't beat you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Joe Paterno did the same thing with me when I was at Notre Dame because I was out on the road recruiting the whole time, and I would go out early because I was one of the nine coaches, and I'd go out in August, and Paterno said that ain't fair, you know, and he bitched and complained and everything till he got the rules changed.
Really.
Yeah, then I couldn't go on the road till October.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm always curious how they select their opponents for these practice games. Because sometimes it looks like they had relationships with the teams in the past, like whenever they practice against each other. How is it selected?
Who are they playing Thursday night?
That's it?
And who the, yeah, that's mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I mean, when I was in San Fran, we always did it with the Chargers. You know, because their owner, Spanos, he lived in Stockton. Yeah,
that's what I'm asking. Because I had a feeling it had to be, there's something that seems like there's personal connections with these things, where the coaching staffs know each other or something like that.
Well, they can't, because my buddy, who's the equipment guy at Tampa, mm-hmm. He called me this summer. He says, yeah, we're going to have a practice with you guys. And he says, I'll let you know when we're coming up. And then they must have thought that they were going to play the Ravens. But then when the preseason schedule came out, they weren't. So then, you know, that's.
Right.
But it always used to be, this is different this year. Nowadays, it's just one day. Before, it used to be two, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And now it's just one day. So maybe because the second day, there was always so many fights.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. So I don't mind it. Otherwise, we'd have been Monday, Tuesday. Probably, right? Yeah, and then the game Thursday, I'm guessing. But no, you know, it'll be fun today because it'll be more intense.
These are always fun.
Yeah.
I tell everybody who will listen, my greatest, best one I ever went to was doing the Jags, and Ricard laid out Miles Jack twice, put him on his back. Then the one-on-one running back drills, flattened him. And it was like, woof.
I tell you what, speaking of Ricard, man, you don't appreciate that dude. You know, like, the drill you're talking about, Ed, because like a lot of when they put the pads on, they always do a drill early in practice with the tight ends, and Ricard's included in that group. The tight ends, against the outside linebackers,
right,
the pass rushers, and it's one-on-one blocking and stuff. Ricard wears them. None of them can handle Ricard. No. Not a one of them can handle Ricard. He's 300-some pounds, you know, and he's thick.
Yeah.
And he's not a nice guy, you know, I mean, on the field.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a prick on the field. Yeah. But he, like the other tight ends, they can't block.
No.
Even Kolar. You know, they call Kolar blocking tight end.
Is it even important anymore? Honestly.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you evaluate me, how many blocking tight ends do you have to choose from college?
Well, the problem is the offenses.
That's what I mean.
They don't make them anymore.
That's my point. Yeah. How many? I mean, I want a blocking tight end. Well, you can want one, but where are you choosing from? Because not many people can.
But I think guys like Kittle are really valuable because of that.
Oh, yes. But, no doubt about it.
But when you
look at Josh Oliver.
Would you agree Kittle is a receiving tight end who's a great blocker?
Right. And Josh Oliver.
You can't call him a blocking tight end.
Josh Oliver was a great blocker here.
Right.
And then the Vikings, 3 for 21 he got.
Yeah.
And then he just got another new deal. You know, I mean, he can catch okay. You know who was a great blocker too? Gronk.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when I was in San Fran, Brett Jones was an all-pro tight end. You could block better than Brett Jones.
But here's the deal. Gronk, Kittle, you're talking about Hall of Fame tight ends.
Yeah. So Kelsey can't block.
Those are the exceptions.
No, he can't.
For the most part, they don't make blocking tight ends anymore.
You remember Bavaro. Bavaro was the best. Mark
Bavaro, yeah.
Yeah. Bavaro, he could catch Andrew, and he was a
beast.
Yeah, he was like
but again,
was Rocky.
In the era where you had to do both, though,
to
play tight end.
No, I mean, Rob, it's a...
He calls me Bob all the damn time, man. I swear for God if he called me Bob one more time. Go ahead.
All right, Bob. Hey, so, Rob, I mean, you look at high school football now, it's 7-on-7.
That's all it is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the great tight ends. Bowers, you know, receiver. Pitts is a receiver. You know who can block is Barry Alvarez's grandson, the one who just, Ferguson, with the Cowboys. He can block.
Thanks a lot, Vinny. I know it's Christmas Day for you.
Where are you going, man?
Oh, you are. I'm not going anywhere. I got one more segment.
Oh. Hey, Ed, you should have seen last week when I was here. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, Jeremy. You know how Jeremy gets, you know? So I mean,
I do.
Yes.
I don't know.
So we were talking about dildos or something, man.
We were talking about the last segment.
Dildos. I heard that. You were throwing them on the court.
I did not throw anything on the court.
I didn't get any comments. I drew a picture of the flying dildo.
Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. He's worse than Jeremy. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. You know, you got more basketball to choose from. More college basketball. It's different than expanding the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. Those expansions, to me, I look at different.
You know, probably,
because you reward mediocrity.
Like, you want... as you said, you get more games, so you get more of what you love. You love college sports, you love college basketball, so you get more. Mm-hmm. The problem is, more of who? What you're going to get, you know, these some directional schools and, you know, these S Pimple State. Like, what are you going to have playing on these, you know, these games? You're not getting, I don't think, you know, the teams you really want to see when you start expanding this much.
I don't think I've ever heard of Ass Pimple State. I don't. Where is that? Is that the bottom of the country?
Yes, it is.
What?
I don't think I've ever heard of that one. I've heard of Bob Haney and What's the Matter You.
That's from Bullwinkle.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I heard of that before. I've never heard of Ass Pimple
State. You never heard that? No.
Yeah. They didn't recruit me. And they never recruited any of my kids in high school. And that's the encore for the day, which is sponsored by
Lion's Den. I was going to make a WNBA joke, but I'll refrain.
They can take care of those ass pimples.
They can take care of everything. Lion's Den. Passion, pleasure, romance. Check them out. Seriously. I frequent the one. I'm on Scott Adam Road. Go say hi up there or go anywhere that's close to you in the region. There's about 5 of them. They're great, great places for adult fun.
And speaking of dildos, here's Buffalo Zoe. What's up, Buffalo Zoe?
Hey, man, listen, I felt like I needed to call in this, man, being though I'm a Buffalo fan. But at least I got to tell y'all Ravens fans, you don't got to worry about Lamar getting hit with one because he been a juke back and looked at it like, oh, you have a cool one, man.
All right, have a cool one. Now time for you to find out what we learned today. What have you learned, Ed Norris?
Something I learned, I kind of just in talking to everybody today and discussing the trades and the team and what's going on. This rebuild started in 2019. It's 2025. Where are we? It really bummed me out a little bit because I'm like, if you would have told me like 6 years into this, we'd be, you know, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball after winning 192 games in two seasons. Like, how did we get here? And it was a real eye opener for me today. I don't know what struck a chord with me, but this is not a good position we're in right now. After 6 years, I'm real disappointed because I wonder when they're going to be back to being competitive. But just something I thought about.
A couple of days, National Night Out. This is when shining a spotlight on community police programs. National Night Out increases connections between those who serve and their neighborhoods. I participated in when they launched this thing in D.C. I don't know if you remember. It was a big old convention. Man, that must have been 1997, 98.
Mm-hmm.
National Night Out. Good program. Tremendous program. There's also National Oyster Day. Are you an oyster fan?
I am.
Raw cooked. Raw is the only way to go. Yeah. Joe, you an oyster fan?
No.
I didn't think you would be. I love
oysters. Tastes like boogers.
There's also National Underwear Day. So, Ed, you actually have to wear them.
Well, you're in luck. I'm wearing them today for some odd reason.
I'll take your word for it. A couple of birthdays in sports today would have been Herb Brooks' birthday, Ed.
Yeah.
The day also would have been Roman Gabriel's birthday.
Rams quarterback.
Former baseball player Bernie Carbo celebrates his 78th birthday today. Former NBA player Otis Thorpe turns 63 today. And also, Patrick Ewing turns 63 today. Former Major League Baseball player John Olerud, he turns 57 today. Lolo Jones turns 43. And the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, is only 24 years old today. How ridiculous
is really?
That? 24 years old, born 2001. My baby is older than him.
So is mine.
She was born 2000.
Yeah, Jack 99.
Unbelievable. And former Major League Baseball pitcher, Mark Mulder, and former baseball player, outfielder, Carl Crawford, both share a birthday today. Joe, who's older, Mark Mulder or Carl Crawford?
Mulder.
Mulder is older. Edward. Mark Mulder, Carl Crawford.
I want to say Mulder. I'm going to go Crawford.
You going Crawford? Carl Crawford today turns 44.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Mulder today turns 48.
Okay.
Are you going to check? Are you getting tacos today, Joe, or you're not a taco guy?
Tacos yesterday.
You didn't know the day of the week?
I got confused. Someone made them for me, so I ate them.
Joe, Ed, his girlfriend made them.
No.
So
she the girlfriend, no.
Okay. Well, I hope one somebody else's girlfriend. You going to get some tacos today, Ed? By tacos, I mean food.
I think
I don't. I don't mean Lion's Den types. I mean food.
I think I will. Yes,
okay. I'm definitely going. I'm headed up your way, Taco Love. Keep them warm for me. Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.